The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm not entirely sure why, but when I was growing up, I always was very sensitive and didn't want people to feel sorry for me. I didn't like it when it seemed like people pitied me or felt like they needed to help me. Maybe it was my Napoleon complex from being quite short for most of my life. Maybe it was being a middle child, so needing some more attention. Maybe it was just that independent spirit that comes from being American that we celebrated earlier this week, or a combination of the three, I'm not really sure. But I always didn't want people to feel sorry for me. I didn't want them to think that I needed help, even if I did. And I think because of that, I would often hear this gospel and kind of misunderstand it. That I would hear Jesus calling these 72 and saying, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few," as if he's looking out at these people, just feeling sorry for them. Kind of saying like, if I could have had more, I would get more, but I've only got you guys, and there's really a lot more work than you could do. So, like, do your best, but it's probably not going to be good enough. I don't actually think that's what Jesus is trying to say to the 72. I think he knows that their job is important. But more than showing them how hard it's going to be, or the good things that they're going to do by overcoming demons and sickness, he wants them first and foremost to rely on God to provide for them. That he wants them to go out and know that there's a big task at hand. But instead of trying to do it all themselves, he wants them to rely on God the Father. That's why he doesn't send them out alone. He sends them out in pairs, two by two, so nobody can go out and be successful and go, "Hey, look at me, I'm St. James. I am so good at this." Instead, they go out in two so they can help each other, but also to realize that probably some in some scenarios and some audiences, one person is more effective than the other. That's not a bad thing. They don't need to compare who's the best. They can just glorify God in the ways that he uses either of them. But also Jesus tells them not to take anything with them. Take no money bag, no sack, no sandals on your feet. It's not because he wants them just to be beggars for the sake of being poor, but he wants them to go out knowing they have to rely on God. Knowing that in order to be effective in this mission, it's really not about their history or what they can do on their own, but the times they're willing to be obedient and humble enough to receive the help from God the Father. But in some ways, he's not saying that he feels sorry for the 72. Instead, he's saying, if I could have more, I would take more. But you, 72, have something that I can use. You're humble enough to know that you can't do this on your own, and that's exactly what my Heavenly Father will use. So go out and rely on the Master. Don't rely on yourselves, but rely on him to make this fruitful. Brothers and sisters, I think that's always a great message for us, that God doesn't look upon us with pity, but actually sees something that he can use within us. We're humble enough to receive his help and to ask for what we need. In fact, it reminded me of when I was asked by the assistant wrestling coach to come out for wrestling my freshman year. I was on the C team soccer team coming towards the end of the season, and the soccer coach was actually one of the assistant wrestling coaches. And he looked at me and knew that I wasn't very tall and probably under 100 pounds. And he came up to me and he said, "Hey, Devin, wrestling season's coming up." I was like, "Okay, I'm glad you're going to be busy. Sounds good." And he goes, "I think you should come out. We need some wrestlers for 103 pounds. It was the smallest weight class at the time. And for some reason, that was different than anybody else had noticed that I was short and didn't use it as like an insult or as something that made it harder for me, but it was actually a benefit. It was actually going to be easier for me to try to be a 103-pound wrestler because I was so small. It was actually a benefit. It was a good thing rather than someone feeling sorry for me." Now, sadly, that's where that story ends because I was a very bad wrestler. So I tried, but it didn't work out real great. But again, I think it helps us maybe to understand what Jesus is seeing when he looks at the 72. It is not that he looks at them as if they're just not going to be able to do all the work. Instead, he sees them as the ones particularly ready in that moment to receive the help from God the Father, to go out and cooperate with God's plan rather than their own, to, yes, cure the sick and drive out demons. I think from Jesus' perspective, to actually undo the kingdom of the evil one. Because Jesus' goal is actually to overcome sin and death by coming among us. And he knows that he could do that. He could just snap his God fingers and do it pretty amazingly. But the thing about the kingdom of sin and the kingdom of the devil is that he always wants us to feel isolated. He doesn't want us to be able to use the people around us or to look to God for help. Hence, when he talks to Adam and Eve in the garden, he only talks to Eve. She doesn't feel like she can turn to Adam or turn to God. That's what the devil wants us to feel. So Jesus wants the 72 to feel the opposite, that they always have literally someone next to them, but also they can always ask the master of the harvest to help them. But the other thing that the devil always wants us to do is to rely on ourselves. It's to think that we just need to be better and to try harder in order to become holy. I think when Jesus sent these first 72 out, he wants them to know that they can become holy, they can change, they can do amazing things in proclaiming the kingdom of God. They can only do that if they rely on God the Father. It's not going to happen if they rely on themselves. It's not going to happen if they try to do it on their own in a spirit of pure independence to get the glory and honor for themselves. But if they can always point to the Heavenly Father and rely on him, then they can go out and drive out evil. They can cure the sick. They can drive out demons, even come upon serpents and poisonous things and not be harmed physically. Brothers and sisters, I think that's what Jesus wants us to hear in this gospel. Not just to hear that we're called to do something difficult and maybe he feels sorry for us because we don't have enough people to help us. Instead, that he sees something in us that he can use. Something that if we rely on God's help and his grace, that we too can bring about God's kingdom here on earth. We can drive out evil. We can overcome bitterness and resentment so that God's kingdom can last in this world. But to know that's only possible by relying on him, by being like the children in the first reading who are there being nursed by their mother, able to do very little on their own, but able to grow and become strong if they rely on another. Let us pray then, when we are sent out to do the Lord's work, when we're sent out to the harvest, we can always rely on the master of the harvest, not expecting ourselves to become holy on our own or to overcome the challenges in our life by earthly means, but instead by trusting in him, then the kingdom of God can truly come here to earth. And that way we can overcome the sin and evil we see around us. And by cooperating with God's plan and his grace, we, like those 72, can go out and proclaim God's goodness, can bring the kingdom of God to earth, and to proclaim to others that the kingdom of God is truly at hand for us.